You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I draw on those difficult moments that I've experienced in my normal life somehow and pull that to give me the help to get through the difficult moments in an ultra race, because you're going to have some deep lows sometimes, and you have to keep pushing. You have to find your way through it.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and get out and see the world. Let this show be a source of travel advice and inspiration, but remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. Everyone, welcome back to Jump. Hope you're doing well today and staying sane and healthy wherever you are. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm actually planning to start a series here on the show about epic backyard adventures, which are basically local travel fun that we can have right here in the U.S. Most of you guys I know are in the U.S., and so am I. So these episodes are going to focus on things we can do while we can't travel internationally for the moment. And then, of course, beyond, because these adventures will be opportunities, obviously, even beyond the confines of COVID, once we can travel again. So I'm really looking forward to kicking off that series in the next episode. I have some super fun locations and ideas lined up. But for today, we're going to take one more trip overseas to dream a little bit, even though I felt literal pain in my heart as I was recording this conversation with my guests, because we talked about something I so want to do and have dreamt of so many times. Today, my guests are Sarah and Edwin. Sarah is originally from the US. Edwin is from the Netherlands, and they are trail runners, like ultra trail runners, which means they run really, really, really far. And while I know that that is a special kind of crazy fun and not for everyone, they use running, which is their passion, to take them places and to expand their minds and their community and their bravery. And that is something we can all find ways to relate to. So I invited them on to share their story of how they met and some of the adventures they've had together, as well as how they plan a running adventure and what they take with them and what they gain from experiences like this, and how you can take these tips and apply them to your own life, even right now during COVID. So that's what we're here to talk about today. Just a quick PSA before we get into the good stuff for today. In case you aren't aware, I lead group trips for you guys. We go and have all sorts of fun all over the world. And we had a trip scheduled for this September in Croatia. And because of COVID, along with everything else that's been postponed this year, we have made the official decision to postpone Croatia that was supposed to happen this year to next year. All I can say about that is we're going to go really, really big in 2021 to make up for all of this. And so if you are not already signed up to get updates about my group trips that I lead, my Jump experiences, you can go to jumpexperiences.com or you can go to jumppodcast.com. They'll both take you to the right place to sign up for updates, because you guys are going to be the first to know about what is going to happen next year and how we plan to make up for this massive void of travel in our lives in 2020, because you bet I am on it. I am so on it. I am going to go big next year as long as COVID allows. So if you want to come with me, make sure you're signed up there, jumpexperiences.com. And we're really going to take it to the next level in 2021, including the Croatia trip. And there's more info to be had there. So make sure you're signed up for updates. Wink, wink. I also just recently announced that there, unfortunately, as far as I can see at the moment, is not going to be a Patagonia 2020 trip, which is so heartbreaking. I am so heartbroken over all of this, you guys. But we will, like I said, make up for it in 2021. So there will be more where that came from. We just have to sit tight for the moment and dream via podcasts. So let's get back to talking about our guests for today. Sarah and Edwin are based in Europe, but fun fact, and you guys know that this is the way I love to run this show and find my guests, I met them on my most recent international adventure to Morocco back in March, right before the world shut down for COVID. And ever since I met them, I've been wanting to ask them on the show. So I am super excited that I finally get to introduce you guys to them today. They have a fun story and they're just fun. They're just light people who are doing good things and spreading joy and running through the mountains while they do it. So I'm excited to get to that today. Today's episode is supported by Manta Sleep at mantasleep.com. This is a company who believes that having quality sleep is the foundation for everything good that happens in life. Manta Sleep has innovated several different kinds of sleep masks, and these sleep masks are designed for blackout because they have these soft cups that go over your eyes and they're adjustable for custom fit to your face. Because of the design, the masks do not press on your eyes at all. They're made with durable anti-stretch elastics. They have two different sizes of regular sleep masks, and then they also have the cool mask, the warm mask, the aroma mask, and a weighted mask if that's your jam. So you have your choice of which avenue you'd like to take towards better sleep. And since the soft, snag-free material does not put any pressure on your eyes, you can pick right back up after your nap or your plane ride without having to fix your makeup. You can use code JUMP10 to save 10% on sleep masks and other sleep accessories at mantasleep.com. So thank you so much to Manta Sleep for supporting the show. Let's go ahead and get into it with Sarah and Edwin. So Sarah and Edwin, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. It's nice to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, nice to hear you as well.
I know, from across the world. One of my favorite questions to ask my faraway guests is, where are you? And you guys have such a cool answer for this right now. So please, let us hear the details. We're all stuck at home in the U.S., so tell us where you are.
This is super exciting, huh?
Then,
you tell them.
Then it's a surprise. Drum roll.
Yeah.
We are in Chamonix, France, at the Mer de Glace campground.
Yeah, we were just on, we just had the video going before we started this recording, and they're sitting in their camp chairs and they're like, oh yeah, Mont Blanc, it's right there over my shoulder. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to cry. Oh, it's so cool. I think this might be the first podcast recorded from a campground. Oh, not, just kidding. I did one with my grandma in a campground. Way back.
That's pretty cool, though.
But yeah, I think this might be the second one recorded from a campground. So that's pretty special. It's still very special.
Yeah.
First one on an international campground. Let's hope that the service holds out for our conversation here. But no, but thank you guys so much for fitting it into your adventure plans to talk to me, because I know what you're doing right now. And we're actually going to, I'd like to talk about that in a little bit. But first, let's just kind of focus on you guys and who you are and like what, I mean, I've mentioned a little bit about how we met at the very beginning, but yeah, I love the story about who you guys are and how you met and all of that. So why don't you tell us first who you are and where you live and like what you do, and then we'll get into it.
That's a whole
story. It's a good story.
Here we go.
Of course, Edwin and Sarah, we knew that. I'm from the Netherlands, actually. Sarah's from the US.
Yeah, from Minnesota.
We met in Italy during an ultra race of 330 kilometers. And that's where I saw Sarah, and it just happened in a wink.
Yeah.
And since then, we're the happiest couple on earth, I can say.
I actually think you might be right. I see your pictures and I see your smiles, and it's like, wow, you really do look so happy in all of your photos. So congrats. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I heard
we always say the mountains brought us together. Yes. The adventure that mm-hmm. we both seek. That brings us further and further to ourselves, but also towards each other.
Yeah. That's got to be what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
I'm always the oblivious one from the start, but he's got the feet on the ground, so I can just try to keep up with him. But we have the same similar dreams and our passions in the mountains, so it's no wonder the mountains brought us together. So
yeah. So his story, his version of the story was hilarious because it was like 5 words. And your story, when you told me in Morocco, was more like 5 minutes. So do you want to elaborate on your story, Sarah?
Okay.
That's we also, met at a race.
Also Edwin and Sarah.
Yeah. So I was running this race, the Tour de Jean, in Italy. And my mom was supporting me. And yeah, I had run in and around a friend of his who was being supported by him and her boyfriend. And they were, crazy Dutch guys. I finally figured out that they were from the Netherlands, but it took me a long time.
You had the time. So.
But I had time, so it was a long race.
Like 330 kilometers worth of time.
Yeah. But I remember that he came up to me at the life base, so a big aid station, at about 200 kilometers into the race. It was, in fact, a race that had gotten canceled. But I remember that he came by and was just saw that I was a wreck. Of course, my body was treating me very differently than I knew. And I was supposed to be going out into a storm to cross over a mountain pass. But that was the first time in my life that I was never sure that I actually could be able to do that based on my physical mm-hmm. condition. Mm-hmm. But he could see my dilemma right through my eyes. And that's evidently what he saw. Thankfully. Mm-hmm. And from there, we we got to meet each other again at the finish of that race and with the people that he was with. And we started a little running team, which I'm a part of now. It's part of Edwin's business. It's mm-hmm. An online web shop. We can go into that later. But created a little shop and a team of friends to run in the mountains together. And said, okay, why not? Mm-hmm. I had no idea that what he had going on for me, but that was part of it. So I had no idea until a little over a year later. Then he had told me more of his feelings, and I had to look at the same person with a new door. I had to open the door again and try to look at him in another way. And mm-hmm. I always have had a good friendship with him, but I always respected him as then the captain of this running team. And
And now
then we opened the door in a way to, mm-hmm. to the new chapter of mm-hmm. my life, of our lives. Yeah.
I love that. Were you, Sarah, were you always living abroad?
So I've been, I'm the little kid from Minnesota who didn't want to move too far away from her parents from the place at home. I did my bachelor's degree in Minnesota. Then my master's degree in Montana, mm-hmm. in Bozeman, in fact. Mm-hmm. And then where we had a similar friend network.
Yeah.
That's how we connected in Morocco. But then, then I moved to Sweden, in fact, first for 3 years. As a research assistant in a physiology lab. And then I moved to Lausanne, Switzerland, and did my PhD there. And now we're living just across the lake, Lake Geneva, into France, about 1,000 meters up from the lake. And that's where we call home now.
Amazing. Yeah. I love that. So. And actually, you and I, eventually through talking, we realized that you had spent some time here in Bozeman, but it took us a while into the conversation even to learn that we had that in common. And I thought that was so cool that we have some of the same friends. And here we are in like this teeny tiny little mountain village in Morocco. And we're talking about people we both know back in Montana. Like, what a cool experience.
Yeah. That's great.
So, and now you guys are like an adventure couple. And you just run all the time. I've told you this, you're so fun to follow on Instagram because I feel like part of, especially during COVID, I mean, we can't leave right now. This country is just so messed up in so many ways. But I mean, we find our escape sometimes, you know, vicariously through other people. I know that that's a thing. I usually refuse to live that way because I'm like, this is my life. I'm going to go live it, you know? But right now we can't. And I'm looking at your photos, just like drooling. They're so dreamy because you're kind of living out one of my dreams. I know that not everybody listening to this is going to be super stoked on running and running and running and running. But I love to run. And so your mountain adventures of running are just so fun for me to see. And so I knew that when we met in Morocco, I had been scheming since then. How am I going to get these guys on the show? We got to have them tell their story and talk about it. And I actually haven't even talked about Morocco yet on the show. And so I wanted to take an opportunity to maybe highlight that trip of yours because Morocco was the first time I'd actually ever been to Africa at all.
Edwin's been there before,
never in Morocco.
And never on a running trip. So.
Right. And that just so intrigues me. So how, you said that you planned Morocco because of the season, pretty much, the weather, because you were training for a big race and you wanted dry trails, right?
Yeah, indeed. Of course, we're living in France. Then, of course, it has the winter in the mountains.
Yeah.
And so when you have an early season race, this year, of course, I was training for something that has been canceled because of COVID. But the idea was to try to build some more mileage in that time of year, which can be tricky because of the mountains. So you can't get up as high or you can't make the training in the way that you normally do in the summer. So we thought, we found an opening in the schedule and we thought, why not make that week a training period? And then we said, where should we go?
And because you're in Europe.
And then, indeed. We hadn't been to Africa together. Friends. And we had,
who visited there with a trip. They organized a trip with runners to the Atlas Mountains.
To Imlil.
And they gave us the tip of to go to Imlil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I had seen that there was a long race in the Atlas Mountains. And so I was also like, then it should seem possible that we can do something there.
Yeah.
I don't know about the timing of the year, but let's see. And we inquired with a friend and got a few details to stay in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And more or less went with it. On the way, of course, booked the flights. We had, since we're in Europe, we had a pretty decent cheap flight that we found to what's the name of the capital?
Marrakesh.
Yeah.
And good quiz. And booked a place to stay and where we knew that we could have some good meals, be well taken care of, and
And that's
flew through the adventure by the way we wanted to once we got there. In fact, should we go this way? Should we go that way?
And you
let's
have
go check it out.
Some stories even just in that, right? I mean, tell us about how you found, I mean, literally you found some locals, but I mean, how did it go when just like taking off and running on the trails in the Atlas Mountains? How did you feel? What was that like?
I mean, we have some experience in knowing what we need to bring with us and being able to be out all day. And so we're not totally foreign to that idea.
We're prepared.
We're prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
We're prepared to explore and change the route and multiple times and adapt on the fly to that situation. And it's what we needed to do there, but that's also our style. That's what our style was there.
Just go.
Just go.
Mm-hmm.
So we... Yeah, we, you know, We took some different directions each day, which gave us different sorts of adventures. But the people were really, of course, they're really friendly. They're really welcoming. They want to meet you. They want to talk to you. They want to help you. They want to give you something to eat and something to drink. And in fact, we needed to have that in some situation because we needed their help to find the route where we were headed. And so then you also want to eat something and you want to drink something from their place. You want to get to know them a little bit and share a moment together.
Yeah.
That's what
to help each other get through the
that's
day.
That's what's running and running in the mountains and what we do is effect all about. It's meeting people, sharing and listen to each other and spend time together.
Yeah.
And even with the people from the villages.
And enjoy whatever is in front of you.
You enjoy whatever you run into. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that story becomes quite crazy. I can just say it in a try to go quickly. Of course we came over the top of a col and we came down. We wanted to try to go around the mountain, so we found a bit of a trail. We've tried to get through it, but we said, no, it's a bit too technical. So we turned around, came back, started going down because, yeah, I mean, we should be able to bounce our way through the village or something. Ended up on a trail to dispose of your waste, your garbage. Ended up down kind of on some river banks that are planting plants along the river. So kind of big steps. Big enough for not exactly to jump or to step through.
Okay.
And we were winding off totally not to where we should be. People on the other side of the river then, who were the mothers, the grandmothers, the kids trying to collect the grass and whatnot for animals to mind their sheep or what their goats down by the river during the day. They start hollering, blah, 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 blah. And we were like, okay, this way, okay, that way. I don't know. Where should we go? And yeah, turns out then that somebody, so one of the guys from mm-hmm. the village, came to find us.
Oh my goodness.
And then leads us on like a wild adventure to get to his place. So we're climbing up stuff. He's, you know, lending his hand to pull you up something. You're trying to grab onto a twig or a rock or something to try to just stay the pace, jumping over creeks and things. It was really cool.
He's running in his rubber boots.
And he's in his mucks. Crazy and fine. So we get to his place. Oh, do you want to eat something? Do you want to drink something? I mean, yeah, by then, yes, please. That would be great. And we had the best tea that I've ever had. There was a lot of sugar in there and Moroccan tea. They call it the Barber whiskey.
Barber whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
And
Barber whiskey.
Yeah. And then so we ate something and had a nice moment with the guy to share a little bit. And he pointed out some things outside. I remember we looked on his terrace and looked
and in fact,
it.
That place happened to be the only place in a trail race, that is in the Atlas Mountains, mm-hmm. And that goes through his place. So in a way, we just had to meet together, had to meet up, and we had just the wildest stories to share with him.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
he spoke some English then to be able to communicate with you?
I think a little bit, and a little bit of French, if I remember right as well. A bit of a mix of something and a bit of the concept that we could understand, that we had some similar passion and we understood each other without even hardly saying much because we could tell based on the decoration of his of the room that we were seated in then mm-hmm. that there was something big going on and some trail maps and we kind of put a few things together And then he's like,
that was
we should go. And then he leads us down totally different way then again. I remember we looked at each other and we're like,
okay.
Oh my God, this is crazy.
Go That's crazy.
That was
on this
and
boots.
Fast. I mean, he was fast. And it was I mean, you must have done that every day since you were growing up, you know, but mm-hmm. That was fun.
Oh, man.
And then we were actually picked up by some kids.
Yeah, then down the river, we were then following the river until we needed to turn left to go climbing up to loop around the mountain. And then there were kids trying to run with us, trying to keep up. Yeah, this way, that way. Okay, let's go. And then jump on the trail with us and keep going. And no, this way. And we were like, okay, well, we go this way, but it's pretty much the same. So, yeah. And then, no, come up over here. Okay. And then we'd all take a left and we pick up a couple more kids on the way. And then there was two who stayed with us for a little while climbing, then out of the way. And yeah, of course, then they want a little something. So we give them a treat along the way. And that was also a fun moment to encourage each other and go from there. So yeah.
Wow.
That gives you energy.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that also gives you the best stories. I mean, that's the sort of thing you got to go looking for that. It's so cool.
Yeah. I think with a lot of things in life as well, that's part of what Edwin and I are doing. But yeah, we take big jumps and we're not afraid. We trust what we know and what we want.
Yeah, we're not afraid.
No.
Of course, we got to help. We got a healthy mind to know what is dangerous and what not.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not scared. Mm-hmm. And in life, you just got to jump. If you don't jump, you never know. You don't experience the adventures that we do right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of it. If you're able to jump and if you're not too scared to jump.
Yeah, to trust your ability in whatever sense that is,
mm-hmm.
whether it's finance, relation, work, you name it, physical, equipment, you trust your knowledge about the area or about the domain of whatever it is and just go for it. Say,
Mm-hmm.
I always say I'm going to jump and I'll figure out how to fly on the way. Like if I'm ready for it and I want it enough, then I'm going to be able to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody listening knows exactly why I asked you guys on here now, because I don't know if you are aware that the name of this podcast is called Jump.
Yep.
We read that, yes.
I know I had told you that, but that was, I swear I didn't pay them, you guys, to say that. I love it.
We're genuine, promise.
Yep. I speak that language. I love it. And it's movement. You've got to get up. You've got to go do it. And you will find that you are so resourceful. You'll figure it out along the way. Like you said, you came across these people that there was some sort of communication there without language, or even if there was language, you didn't just rely on that. It wasn't something that you knew you had. It was something you created with this person that got you by. And that is what it's all about. Even if you can't see the path ahead of time, like, I love this. I love the whole, yep. Mm-hmm. I'm over here like doing this little dance in my seat. I love it.
I think it's also, in fact, for me, it's a compliment to how Edwin and I's mind works together. Edwin is really, really good at branching out and meeting people and just jumping into whatever to be an open mind and find the connection. And he's really unique in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the combination of us together allows that. I don't know. It feels really
also because it's my business.
Yep.
And because I am the way I am, it's one of the reasons that we are able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's really, what makes really it important. What makes it possible in its own dimension is that, the two of us together to choose to do something like that, but also, it happens that way because we are the way we are.
Exactly.
It's weird how to say it or think about it, but yeah.
Yeah. It's because you're living, because you're living you, you're to a point where you know who you are, you know what you want to do, and you know what kind of difference you can make, and you're acting on it, and you're being your best self through that, and you're sharing it with others. And that's just like the most fulfillment I think that we can get. I love that. And, bringing people
that's
along the way.
Yeah. The goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sharing that with each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's also why we got the team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, I sponsor the team. So we create everything that we do together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never about, normally being a sponsor or there's always something behind it. With the team that we have, it's not. We share the name. We're connected to the business. But the only reason to have this team is to share and to experience adventures.
Mm.
That's the only reason. And to show people what we can do together and what everybody can do together. if you make the right choices.
Exactly. And it takes somebody to say, sometimes, you know, if you haven't figured it out for yourself, take someone else to say, hey, take my hand, let's do this together. Or when you get to that point yourself, you can say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. And this is how I can share this and make a difference. And I love it.
Yeah.
So,
That's it.
Let's talk about some of the, maybe some of the details of how you guys actually make this happen. I love this idea of travel because I've done hiking trips and I've done biking trips. And while running is one of my passions, I've never done like a running, like a through running trip or something like that, you know? And I want to, it's sort of one of my dreams to, it's actually been a dream of mine for a long time. Yeah. Let's do that. Okay. You guys heard it here first. They invited me. I'm going to go. Yeah. Like what you guys just did blows my mind. But I mean, I have visions of like wanting to run chalet to chalet in the Dolomites or something, And, but I
that's a coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, that's is it?
That's where we go in 2 weeks.
Oh yeah. Gosh. Okay. Well,
in 2 weeks we're going to go there. Yeah. So we'll let you know. We don't have the details yet.
You're going to have some more Instagram followers by then. So you don't have any details quite yet about that, but in the idea of like planning a running trip. And so you said earlier that when you go out, when you set out for the day, you're kind of just prepared. So what are some of the things that you bring with you? And how do you always do it where you come back to the same place at night? Or if you're doing a through trip, then what do you carry? Like, do you fast pack? Have you ever done luggage supported? Like, how do you manage all of that stuff?
Yeah, it's a bit of a loaded question, of course, for us. I'll give you my answer, which is not the dynamic answer that question involves. I don't know about the luggage supported or the whatever you named of some good things that I was like, oh yeah, I don't know. It's okay. It's just our style for example, from Morocco, we were based in one spot and took a loop in one direction, took a loop in another direction, went another direction, make your planning based on what you see or what you hear or what advice you get from the locals in that situation.
Mm-hmm. It's also because of the logistics.
And the logistics of that there, you know, in the place. Where here now in Chamonix, I'll just tell us what we did these last few days. Monday morning, we took a bus from Chamonix to Courmayeur really early in the morning. Jumped out in Courmayeur and started hiking and running. Went over to Champelac in Switzerland. And what did we take with us? So we had, of course, a dry set of clothes for the next few days. So a t-shirt and shorts. The necessities, toothbrush and for me, contacts and a few emergency items in case we needed some tape and blisters and in case we fell down, cut ourselves or something.
Yeah, emergency blanket.
Emergency blanket, some of the general stuff. Of course, you take a rain jacket. You never know what the mountains are going to do, but especially when you're going long. Yeah. So if you're like me, then you're sitting in the restaurant that night and you're wearing your running shorts for the next day, your long sleeve shirt that, in fact, luckily was still dry, and my rain jacket.
Okay.
That's what I'm having dinner in. So very light packing. Of course, you can throw in an extra set of something for that dinner or whatever. But yeah, pretty simple. And food. That's the
running food.
Yeah. Make sure that you have the logistic of being able to catch between your mountain hut, your refugio style of something, or pick up some things along the way that there's enough water support or, you know, some streams or whatnot between. But yeah, carrying enough food, little running food, snacks, sandwiches, you name it, whatever can fit in your pack. Maybe some caloric drink so that you, when you're not able to eat as much of your running food anymore, that you can still get some calories in to be able to get where you need to go to support yourself.
Mm-hmm. The first day was 11 hours. So you really need something.
Yeah.
You really need something.
11 hours. And you didn't pass through any villages that had like.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we, of course, there's a few, it's different in these times at the moment, but there's a few refugios on the way in Italy, where you can, for example, where we could grab a cappuccino and an iced tea and sit down for a minute or go to the bathroom. You can find a moment to do what you need to. Mm-hmm. And, towards the afternoon, then because we left quite early, we stopped for a bit of a more of a meal. So we had an omelet and a piece of bread with some cheese, melted cheese on it. And anyway, you can find your way. For us, it was like that. You, of course, can anticipate what you need, but as long as you run across the support, which the Tour de Mont Blanc route is very, very supported in that way, you can rely on the what you cross to.
Of course, also that you can't stuff yourself. While eating, you can't eat too much because you're going to run after that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's no fun to run on the full stomach.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have to be smart with the amount of food that you take in one time.
So you're taking...
And depends how fast you're going to go. Of course, if you're going to be able to go faster and you're used to that concept, then you can run with what you've got in your bag or, stop for a Coca-Cola and keep on going.
Yeah.
Or, you can find your way in some situations easily, but when it's longer and longer, then you need, it's at least for us, it's, that's what we find is it's better because we have a little bit of time and we also need more energy to make the big days. Then we can stop for a moment and take something in the right way and get a boost from it.
Yeah.
So when you're doing these sort of trips, you're booking like a hotel, a lodging in advance, right?
It's advisable, especially in a pretty popular route like here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the advice. That's the best advice, just in case you're running into overbookings I've heard of some stories from some runners that they had to make up their own shelter. Not the nicest stories because of that they weren't prepared. So it's better to be prepared and try to plan your route. How much how far can you go each day and. Yeah, that's what I would say. The best advice to be prepared at least for the lodging part, and for the rest, take as much food as you can fit, and try to know that you can get support along the way. That you've got enough water to cover you, even when it's hot. Mm-hmm. That type of let's say normal thing, but something that's in some situations, like the next day, you needed to be more prepared to fill the water when you saw it, and do different things. That's you need to be smart on the trail as well. To take care of yourself.
Yeah.
How big are your backpacks that you're carrying, running with?
Mine's a 12-liter Salomon bag, stuffed to the brim.
12 liters. It's so small.
Yeah. And what's yours?
Mine.
Maybe it's maybe 15, but it's not that much either. A couple of years ago, we did part of, in fact, kind of almost half of this race where we met in Italy, the Tour de Gion, we did the half of the course, which is called the Tote Drette. And that's we went from Gressonay Saint-Jean in Italy to Courmayeur, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
That's on half of the Alta Via routes. There's one and two that go different parts of that valley.
Mm-hmm.
And on that adventure, I think I had a 20-liter bag. But yeah. Pretty much we're the same setup, even if we're going to go for, 3 days or 5 days or, you're going to have dry clothes. Maybe you're going to wash them when you take a shower at the same time and dry them out.
Yeah.
And
they're not clean, but they smell better.
Yeah.
So you're going just super minimal, booking your accommodations and just, gosh, that sounds so fun. I want to do
It's, of course, the bigger bag you take, the more stuff you take with you.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not the idea. That's not smart because you got to run with it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And every couple of hundred grams is a lot.
Yeah. Of course, we take a phone charger. And
and
if you're in a hotel, then obviously you have your plug. If you're in a refugio, if you're in a hut, then you have hopefully at least one for whoever's staying there to share. And or there's multiple that you can seek it out. Otherwise, we also have a solar powered charger. So you can expose that during the day and try to get a charge here and there. Use your phone as least as possible for a call to show that you're okay, and show that you're okay, and maybe take a picture here and there, and
but conserve battery and
try to know where you're going and understand, or you know, have a screenshot of the map on your photo so you don't have to pull up the apps to take more battery, or that's something small, but that's it. And
smart.
I also think it's the coolest way of traveling. The less you got with you, the more perfect it is.
It's the concept of that, but the ability that gives you, you can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want. I mean, okay, you be prepared a little bit and know that you can do it and not be limited by having a bigger bag or having too much stuff or having it be too heavy. Then actually I can't carry that many kilometers. I can't go that far.
Right.
But it's
then you're
in this time of year, it's even that we can take from the mountains to not have too much with us. And the last day we took our raspberries, we took blackberries, all from nature. You were growing in the mountain. Mm. So you stop, you have a handful of blackberries and you eat them. Mm-hmm. So that's your food. That's your power food for the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool to experience that way.
Yeah. First, it's a boost because you found it. Second, it's a boost because it was there and in good shape so you could eat it. And third, it was great because there was other people and we shared that experience together. Mm-hmm. And then four, you actually get the boost because you ate something cool and now you want to just enjoy and run and be crazy. And so that's how it works.
Yeah, it is really cool.
I love that. Oh my goodness. Yeah. The packing is so interesting because there's such a feeling of freedom when you have everything you need on your back and you can carry it all and you can go anywhere and you can change plans in the middle of your day or whatever. There's so much freedom in that. And when you travel by your own human power, whether it's hiking or running or biking, it is such a cool feeling because you are exposed to the elements. You are outside. You are in them. You're constantly learning about what is around you. You have everything you need to make this adventure, including your resourcefulness when something comes up.
Big time.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's, of course, a couple of big stories that are trying to fly through my mouth at the moment, but
Like
Switzerland
what?
Switzerland is a really great place because it's really accommodative for travel. You have train connections and bus connections. You can say not everywhere, but almost everywhere. You can create whatever kind of adventure you're looking for. And that's so cool. When I was living there, I loved to make my plan of where I was going to go. What was my plan A? Well, I was going to take the train and the bus to there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then was I going to leave a bag in a locker at the train station, or which train station would I leave my bag? And then I would run and I would go and do my thing, plan A, B, C, D, sometimes all the way down to Z that I didn't know what to do. And I just went back. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. It's like the best, in fact, the worst day becomes the best day because it becomes the story that you can tell a million times. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a really fun way to travel and to explore in that sense. It's fascinating for me. To look at the maps and make your plan and say, oh, I think I can make it here. Well, I'm an ultra planner, so it turns out that not very often would I get my A plan because it was just too far. It was a nice way to explore that way, and then come down, take a bus from wherever you ended up, you know, see that the connection was okay, and make it back to the main station where your bag was. That was the bigger stop that you could always connect to, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Another story that's related a bit is when I was in Sweden. It was my first year of doing some really long running adventures, and I took one of those really long running adventures in Sweden, and I took a train, started running, and was trying to make it back in time for the last train from there in the evening. And I was following backwards of a race course, But of course, they were taking, it was the day of the race, so I was supporting the race and going in the opposite direction. And yeah, they turned out to be taking down the markings as the race went. And that turned out to be a little bit of a challenge, a bit bigger than I was ready to handle. But I figured it out. So the resourcefulness piece comes in, because I, of course, I was following the footprints. Of course, there was a lot of runners on the trail, so I could find my way a bit on some of the trickier turns. Yeah, then we ended up in a little village town, and I couldn't figure out where that trail went back in. So I was beside myself, but I had a map that I was using. But in fact, I ended up choosing, on purpose then, but incidentally, because I didn't exactly know where to go, on purpose then to go on a winter trail. Turned out to be a winter trail in Sweden, where you go through the bog. So you are very deep in the wet, up to your knees, and tromping through for like 5K through this bog. But I had a viewpoint at one point, and okay, I knew that I was still on the trail, and I'm following the red X signs to continue pretending that I'm on skis or a snowmobile or something. But that was a bit of a challenge. Well, then what happened? Oh, I got to a river.
Oh no.
And it was too big. I didn't trust myself to cross it.
Oh man.
So I was beside myself. I did not know what to do. But I just paced and back and forth. Can I go here? No. Can I go here? No. Oh man, I was starting to get in my head. Yeah. What in the world am I going to do? Come on, can't you just jump in there? Yeah. Oh no, I can't. Turn in a circle. What are you going to do? Oh. Then I realized, you get upset for a minute and you realize, shit, well, I can't stay here.
Yeah.
I gotta get my way out of here. So, okay, just go, I was like, well, just trust some instinct. And I went one way, I went up the river. Yeah, there has to be a way where these runners cross this river too. Mm-hmm. But I have to find the bridge. I don't know which way to go, but I have to find the bridge. So I went up the river. And in fact, it turned out to be relatively soon, within 100 or 200 meters, I had a view that I could see the bridge. So then I crossed the bridge, and what the heck? Oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just have this moment every once in a while, whatever situation in life that you just get your, I don't know, you just get all twisted around and sat down like, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you realize that you can't stay where you are. You can't stay down, or you can't have a problem, or you can have your party for a minute, but you also need to be resourceful and trust yourself that you've got to keep moving. You've got to go for it. You've got to find your way out of it. And yeah, that's the situation that brings me to that story. So
yeah. It sounds like quite an adventure. That does sound scary though. Were you alone? You were alone, right?
I was alone. Yeah. Yeah. So that was, those are the moments where you're going to get that, that rawness to yourself. But, yeah, and of course, then you have the elation that I'm back on the trail, and then I had a little field of goats that I had to go through, and that was exciting. But yeah, okay, they're fine. They're a nice animal to have to run into, and yeah, elated to be not lost anymore.
Right.
And yeah, then they're pushing it to catch the train, and yeah, I had a bigger bag that time. That was one of my first adventures. You know, the Camelback days where I had. Yep. An extra pair of, I think I even had an extra pair of shoes or flip-flops or something for the train. And I had food with me for after as well, because I knew that I wasn't going to have some place that I could stock up afterwards. So I was running with extra liquid and extra food, extra calories for on the train once I got there, because I knew that I wouldn't be in the best condition to be resourceful, to find my way, to travel back. And
But you made it. You made it everywhere in the end. Worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amazing. Always those hard.
Somehow, knock on wood. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those hard moments, though. The harder the moment, the greater the reward. I would say in such a way that you learn so much about, and your courage grows like exponentially in those moments, because you realize what you're capable of. And then you take that with you to the next time that you get to a river, and there's just something inside you that says, hey, I've done something like this before. I can do this again. Like, I will be okay. I can find my way out of this,
Yeah, it's part of the reason why I'm drawn to these big ultra ultramarathon distance races. I find such a parallel between the race that you go through over a day or a few days and the parallel in life when I have difficult working environments or situations, projects or whatnot, and I draw on those difficult moments that I've experienced in my normal life somehow and pull that to give me the help to get through the difficult moments in an ultra race, because you're going to have some deep lows sometimes and you have to keep pushing. You have to find your way through it. Your stomach doesn't feel good. Your feet have blisters. Mm-hmm. Your leg has a lot of pain, or you're, I don't know, you're struggling. And yeah, you need to find the way through that. Then I can channel some of the energy or the mantras and mental strength, the courage, whatever that you have in the normal working life. That's where I pull it from anyway. Mm-hmm. And bring it towards, yeah, bring it towards the race. Or you have difficult moments in the race and you say, whoa, man, I've been through those difficult hours or that mm-hmm. difficult section or whatever, and pull it and use it during a difficult project and say, hey, okay, I am coming up on a weekend. I get to see my family, or I get to have a night with my fiance. And then you say, yeah, that's my aid station, and I'm going to be able to make it through the next week of work or the next difficult section of there's a lot of pressure or whatever it is. Those are the moments that feed for me. That's, it's a difficult way to balance because it's some tricky moments and tricky moments, but that's where I get a lot of my reward, or that's how I build my character. Let's put it like that.
I love that. Very well said. Very well said. The parallels we can get from our hard experiences, just everything in travel, in life, in work, in relationships, they can all parallel. We can draw on them all to get us through things. And I love that. Well, this is okay. We could chat all day about running, which I find so fun. But do you guys have any, let's go with any kind of like final advice for anybody who might want to explore this type of travel? What would you say?
Yeah, it's just what we said before. Just do it. I mean, it's of course you gotta be wise. You gotta be careful, because they're mountains. And I always say, if you don't respect the mountains win. Mm-hmm. So always be prepared on mountain conditions, and know what mountains can do.
And trust yourself in that too. Yeah. If you don't trust yourself, or you're scared of some part of the mm-hmm. situation, of the weather or your physical condition, then you've got to turn around, or you've got to find your backwards option.
Yeah.
Have a last resort option. You never know if you're going to need it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you don't. And so far we don't need it, but
there's
always the situation where you say, well,
and of course you can stay in the lower mountains, which are in general more and better traveled, less danger. Start there and go higher and higher and higher. Look for more altitude once you're more experienced.
Yep.
Build your way up.
Of course, as with running, when you first start running, hopefully you can't run a marathon the first day that you start running. You're going to get hurt. You're not in the best way that you could be. Of course, you might be able to get through it, but it's not going to be the best way to do it. So
your body won't like it.
Yeah. Try to be prepared. Try to read and learn different things and challenge your mind. And once you get your mind hooked on something that you're going to do, that's really motivating, at least for me, to find out all the information that I can about it. And once you know the gist of what's happening, or you're going to choose the route and you're going to see those towns and this is what's going to happen, then it's okay. Book your stuff and go for it.
There you go.
Or just ask us.
Or just ask us. We'll help you.
We'll help you. No problem.
Yeah. And actually, on that note, we're talking Switzerland and the Alps and Italy and even the Atlas Mountains in Morocco, but this is the sort of adventure you can start in your own backyard, because really all you need if you're going to do a running adventure is either a good map and you know how to get home, or just public transportation. And I know a lot of people, where I live, we don't have a lot of public transportation, so I'm at a disadvantage. But I know a lot of people listening do have access to public transportation. And that right there is really all you need. Get on something, go to somewhere new, explore by foot, and then go home at the end of the day. We could start super small, and you can even do that during COVID. It's safe.
Yeah, and even if you got a friend 20 kilometers away, 20 miles away,
mm-hmm.
Start walking, both of you.
Love it.
And switch car keys halfway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll bring you back again.
I love that. That's a good idea.
You can find all sorts of ways to support yourself or mm-hmm. to have who knows what the situations might be for people, but have a friend who hike up and bring an extra bottle of water for you as you mm-hmm. are crossing something going a little bit farther. Mm-hmm. And if you end up in a town, cool. Or if you can share part of that run with somebody else who meets you from a different direction, or then the avenues are,
many.
They're all over the place. You mm-hmm. just have to keep your eyes open and look for those avenues. You have a friend who's here and you're there. Well, it's a little ways away. Am I ready to cross that? Or how can I get from here to there? Mm-hmm. In which mode of transportation? Can I bike? Can I run? Can I hike? Do I need to take a... yeah. What's possible for you? Yeah. In which dimension?
Love it.
That's from small scale to the big scale.
Yep. Yeah. There's something for everyone, of course. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you so much. How do we find you if people want to follow your running adventures, especially as you're planning the Dolomites? I mean, that like hurts inside my heart. I can feel it.
Oh,
oh. I know.
We'll put you in our pocket.
Oh,
yeah, we'll put you in our pocket.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How can we find you?
We are running as Team Ultra Run. We got five ultra runners all in different places and different adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Even one who is doing every single street of Rotterdam in the Netherlands.
Wow!
So that's also an American concept, I believe.
Yeah.
Of Ricky Gates. Yep. Who did that?
Okay.
So he brought it to the Netherlands, and we're doing all kinds of weird stuff as runners.
Runners are weird.
We are on,
yeah. Or normal stuff. I don't know. No.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be normal. I want to be crazy.
Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram, Team Ultra Run, also on Facebook. And in that, we are connected to the Ultra Run business, Ultra Run store.
My handle is, I think it's Skier Willy.
Yes.
Just for funny.
Yeah. So, you can follow us on those media. And,
yeah.
And if you got questions, please ask, because of course we always want to help and give some advice. If people want to come to the Alps, where we know a lot of places, to the mm-hmm. Dolomites, where we know a lot of places, the Atlas Mountains, where we know
some places of running.
Yeah. mm-hmm. A bit of off
running. The fun part about Imlil, Morocco, to mention is that we still have weekly contact with those people over there.
Yeah. The people that we met on the runs.
Day now.
Yeah. And in town.
Yeah. So we're still in contact with them, with the Moroccan people.
Yeah. Mm.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's how we create a community.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
And of course with you, which is great.
Yeah, I know.
Which is cool, which is so amazing.
Yeah.
Which can open up all sorts of things, maybe.
Yeah. You never know. Well, you know when it's gonna open up? I'm gonna come run with you guys one day. That's gonna be my goal.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Me too. All right. Well, thank you guys again so much for your time, and best of luck with your adventures. Stay safe out there. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you too.
Thank you so much.
Great to talk with you.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm inspired, and I'm keeping the dreams alive. It is okay to keep dreaming about future travels. It is okay to find inspiration in what we will be able to make happen one day, even if we are feeling quite stuck for now. So I hope that you guys enjoyed that too. I put some links in the episode show notes for where to find Sarah and Edwin. If you're interested in connecting with them at Team Ultra Run and at Skier Willy. And of course, if you want to say hi to me or let me know how you're enjoying the show, you can find me at Traveling Jackie on Instagram. By the way, thank you so much to those of you who have reached out to me there. I'm so encouraged by your messages and comments. It is really fun for me to get to see who you are behind just a listener number. I know you're a real person. I know you're out there. So thank you for taking the time to comment and connect with me and say hi. I really appreciate you guys. And don't forget, if you're interested in learning more about my group adventures, you can sign up for updates at jumpexperiences.com. So thanks for being here, for listening from wherever you find yourself in the world today. I hope you stay well, and I am looking forward to sharing some US adventures with you in the coming episodes. So don't go far. I will see you guys soon.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.